mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, it is arguably the most disruptive of all disruptive technologies, the rise of generative AI with its ability to create things. What does that mean for the people who have made a career out of creating things? Also this morning, it's Community Read Time. Findlay-Hancock County Public Library Director Sarah Clevenance will share details on this year's featured book, Gaining Ground, a story of farmers markets, local food, and saving the family farm. And happening around town, flapjacks, hotcakes, or griddle cakes, this weekend's Pancake Day event, by any other name, is still the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Findlay Kiwanis. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, February 26th, 2025. So I saw this story on the Newswire. I thought it was rather interesting. The Toledo City Council has approved a financial settlement for a girl who was injured in an accident at a cemetery in the city back in 2017 when she was struck by a falling tombstone at Forest Cemetery in North Toledo. Struck by a falling tombstone. Wow. The victim will receive $32,500 to settle the matter, according to the report, which I thought was kind of interesting because, like, the very next story that I happened to see as I was perusing the Newswire this morning, after that one, $32,500 to settle the case of the falling tombstone in Toledo. This story, a grandmother in Arizona has been awarded $7.5 million in compensation after she was injured on a ride at the Universal Studios Hollywood theme park back in September of 2022. Seems 74-year-old Pamela Morrison she slipped and fell, it says here, she slipped and fell on a moving walkway after being asked to leave the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey ride when the ride harness would not engage. I don't know if it was because she was too large or there was just a problem with the harness or whatever, but she was asked to exit the ride. And when she tried to get off the ride, the belt from the harness got tangled in her feet. And then when she put her other foot on the moving walkway, it knocked her to the ground. And she says she suffered a crushed spine as a result. Her attorney says park employees should have stopped the moving walkway to allow her to exit the ride safely. Which sounds like that would defeat the purpose of a moving walkway. But anyway, $7.5 million in compensation. I read that story and I thought, man, the Toledo City Council got off easy on that one. $32,500 for the falling tombstone. That could have been a lot worse, as it turns out. Let's see. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started. This is amazing science. Amazing science, this story. Researchers out of China have discovered that the planet Mars may have once been home to sandy vacation-style beaches. Now, remember, it wasn't that many years ago that we didn't even know for sure whether there was ever water on the red planet. And now, using radar from the Zhurong rover, these scientists in China have discovered ancient beach deposits on Mars. Ancient beach deposits. And apparently, researchers, scientists in this country are backing up the veracity of this claim. According to Benjamin Cardenas of Penn State University, examining these images, he says they point to Mars having coastlines and an ocean about 3 billion years ago. The evidence shows that there was a proper vacation-style beach on Mars all those years ago, complete with wind, waves, and no shortage of sand. Not there anymore, but at one time, they had beaches on Mars. Somebody tell President Trump he'll want to develop it like the Gaza Strip. That's the... We can build this up. We can make it a resort on the planet Mars. It's vacation style, proper vacation style beach. That's crazy. Really amazing science. Amazing science. Did you hear about this? The head of the IRS has announced his abrupt retirement. Acting IRS Commissioner Doug O'Donnell will step down from his role on Friday. Apparently, he is protesting all of the cutbacks since President Trump took office. But it's interesting timing because obviously we're in the heart of the tax filing season and the head of the IRS is stepping down. That'd be sort of like Santa Claus retiring on December 1st. You know, I mean, it's just an odd, odd timing. I'm not sure. I mean, that combined with the cutbacks might mean for taxpayers that those returns will be delayed even further in being processed. Who knows? The Treasury Secretary has announced that for now, the IRS will be headed by Melanie Krause. But the president says he wants former Representative Billy Long to take control of the agency. So wait and see. But again, they're going to have to do something fairly quickly. You're in the middle of tax filing season. Just seems like an odd time to retire. The IRS chief. Amazon set to hold an event today in New York City. This is kind of interesting. They are expected to unveil an update to their Alexa digital assistant. Amazon is. The company, it says, has been working to come out with a new version of Alexa with more advanced artificial intelligence capabilities. So that is the anticipated announcement from Amazon later on today in New York City. Kind of interesting, the story goes on to say that Amazon, since they launched their digital assistant and their device business back about 10 years ago, they have lost billions of dollars. Billions of dollars on Alexa development since 2014. So let's shovel more money at it, and maybe people will like it more if it's smarter, I guess. Continue to forge ahead with that. That's the big thing. I mean, are they making any money on this? All of these amazing technological advances. You wonder, who's making money? How are they really making money on all of this? Anyway, and lastly, here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, if you are in the market for a new vehicle, Consumer Reports is out with their picks for the top-rated cars in America. And it's more important than ever to make smart choices when you're buying a car. The average price of a new vehicle is near a record high at more than $49,000, although prices and payments have come down in recent weeks, but still more than $49,000 on average. And so Consumer Reports put 50 popular vehicle models through more than 50 different tests each. And the top vehicle overall, number one on Consumer Reports' list, the Subaru Forester. They say what makes the winning vehicle a winning vehicle, according to Consumer Reports, was its reliability, its great fuel economy, ample cargo space, roomy front seats, and great visibility. The Subaru Forester, number one overall top-rated car by Consumer Reports. Then they break it down by vehicle category. The top pick in the small car category this year is the Nissan Sentra, citing its reliability and easy controls. For mid-sized cars, Consumer Reports found the Toyota Camry topped the list for its comfort and user-friendliness. And in the small truck category, the Ford Maverick rose above the rest for its size and simple controls. So those are the top vehicle picks for 2025, according to Consumer Reports. Now you know. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high around 50. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 30s. The Hancock County Drug Task Force says it obtained search warrants for two residences on Parkwood Drive after observing what appeared to be multiple drug transactions taking place at the residences. The Drug Task Force was assisted in executing the search warrants by the Hancock County Special Response Team and the Findlay Police Department Emergency Response Team. The task force said the search of the two residences yielded, among other things, more than 300 prescription pills, multiple suspected stolen credit cards, two firearms, drug paraphernalia, and multiple items indicative of drug trafficking. As a result of the operation, one person was arrested and two people are expected to face charges at the conclusion of the investigation. Get more in this story on our website. A new law in Ohio regarding school bathroom use is now in effect.
The law bans transgender students from using school bathrooms that align with their gender identity and requires them to use the restroom that matches their gender assigned at birth. It does not apply to school employees, emergencies, or anyone helping young children or those with disabilities.
ONAN's Danita Harris reporting. Fellow candidate and Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost is sharing his thoughts on Vivek Ramaswamy's announcement that he's entering the governor's race.
In a statement, Yost says, quote, "I welcome Mr. Ramaswamy to the race for however long he sticks around. We'll see if he actually stays. Mr. Ramaswamy quit on President Trump and Doge on day one. He quit on Ohio and moved his company to Texas. And he quit his presidential campaign after a devastating fourth place finish in Iowa," end quote.
ONN's Jay Plyburn reporting. A GoFundMe page called the Jeff Dean Astronomy and Science Exploration Fund has been set up to continue his legacy. The GoFundMe page says it's in honor of the Findlay man's lifelong passion for science, space, and astronomy. And the initiative will support science education and foster curiosity in students of all ages. There's more information and a link to the page in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, of all of the disruptive technologies in the past decade, perhaps none is more disruptive than generative AI with its ability to create things at the simple suggestion of the user. You want a picture of a kid riding a bike? Done. Show me a family enjoying a meal together. No problem. Generative AI can create just about anything. So where does that leave people who have made a career out of creating things? What do you need them for anymore? Matt Clunan is Vice President of Global Brand Marketing for the freelance platform Fiverr. Matt, how concerned are these creative people, these artists, photographers, and so on, about generative AI? How significant is this threat in their view?
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting kind of evolution and kind of how quick this has really hit the scene in terms of AI seems to be the only thing that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how AI is going to replace our jobs and it's going to change this and change that. And I think there's some truth to, you know, AI changing things. But I think ultimately, you know, we need to remember that it is a tool, and it's a tool that can be used, you know, for good things and for less good things. So we view it, you know, as a kind of like changing point in the way work gets done.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be a decline in some, you know, categories and services in the way things are done, but it's also going to kind of open up a lot of new opportunities for growth for individual freelancers, for businesses, all of these things.
I was going to say, you make such a good point that I haven't really thought of, but it makes sense. The speed of it is one of the things that is rather disconcerting. I mean, and how quickly this is moving forward. So I wonder, is it about what the technology can do right now or what it may be able to do in the future that is the most concerning part of this?
Yeah, and I think it's both, because I think it, you know, the what it can do in the future doesn't seem that far out.
Yeah.
Just based on kind of the past, you know, 2 years or so in terms of where we've seen it go from, you know, 0 to 1, what is 1 to 2, 1 to 10 look like?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, at the heart of the concern, I think as it relates to freelancers, is I think this idea of ownership and, you know, AI and all of these large language models are basically harvesting a lot of data from everywhere. You know, they need to be learned and trained on, you know, data sources. And I think that creates a lot of kind of like anonymous outputs and, you know, lack of kind of credit and compensation for the work there. So I think as it relates to Fiverr as a platform, you know, for our freelancers, we're really focusing on that. How can we retain, you know, a sense of ownership and credit and then compensation for our freelancers in this kind of changing AI landscape?
Worth pointing out that they are not, creatives are not alone in this fear. A lot of people worry about AI displacing human work. Proponents say, as you were pointing out, that it's not about replacing humans, but augmenting their work, giving them a new tool to do their work. So talk about how that applies in this space and how Fiverr is embracing AI, but still working to protect the work that these creative individuals are doing.
Yeah. So Fiverr, you know, to kind of like really follow up on that idea of ownership, just launched Fiverr Go. And what Fiverr Go is it's a set of personalized AI tools for freelancers, split into two parts. First part being the personal AI assistant. And what that basically does is, you know, it becomes, you know, an assistant for the freelancers to help manage their business on the platform. It will handle conversations with, you know, potential clients. It will analyze their, you know, listings on the platform. It will provide them with suggestions there, really ultimately being a business partner that can, you know, help funnel in business for them. That allows them to have more time to focus on their skills, to really kind of focus on their work and really handle a lot of the admin tasks. The second half of it is the AI creation model. And what this is a generative AI model that is built uniquely to each individual seller on the platform. So say you're a graphic designer, you've created a bunch of work in the past, you could upload all of that work to Fiverr Go. It would analyze that work and it would define a model based exclusively on your past work. So then a buyer coming to the platform would see the work you've created, it would understand your style, and they could, you know, request specific assets from that, saying, okay, I love this guy's style, I would like, you know, X, you know, designs. But then the freelancer is also available and involved in that transaction. Say it delivers something that's 90% of the way there, the freelancer could step in for final tweaks to really perfect that. So it's not just this, you know, completely random and completely generic output, but it is driven exclusively on an individual freelancer style, and they're available to help.
It also says here in my notes, you talk about offering equity to benefit the top performing freelancers. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah. So, you know, around the same idea of ownership, you know, we were thinking a lot about it, you know, in the conversation of AI, but, you know, how can we, you know, provide freelancers with, you know, ownership in actual Fiverr. So Fiverr has been around 15 years. It's a public company now, and we just rolled out the freelancer equity program, which is basically provides freelancers with an opportunity to, you know, earn shares in the company based on their success. So there's certain criteria in which, you know, top-rated sellers need to kind of qualify to be eligible for this, but, you know, Fiverr's gotten to where it is today based on the success of all of our freelancers. And we felt like it was the right thing to do to really compensate them for, you know, helping grow this business and create it into what it can be.
And I wonder if that also helps those freelancers and creative individuals to start to think more big picture about this whole thing. Whether we're talking about being vested in the platform, whether we're talking about embracing tools such as AI, really taking a step back and looking big picture at everything that is evolving in this industry.
Yeah. I think, you know, the evolution of, you know, people going to kind of freelance work has been happening over the last, you know, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And we just see that, you know, a large portion of the workforce is freelance now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, providing, you know, different ways to bring in additional revenue streams to, you know, kind of make them committed to this, you know, I think is how Fiverr's thinking about things. So we hope that, you know, all of these tools and programs that we're launching, you know, are beneficial to freelancers on the platform, but then, you know, can attract, you know, potential more freelancers to really join and consider selling their services on the platform.
I wonder, especially as it relates to the way you're embracing AI and integrating that into the toolbox for those who are on the platform, is this the ultimate answer, or is this just one piece of a changing and evolving paradigm?
It's a good question, and I think this is one piece of it, if I had to give an answer now. And, you know, I think we're going back to kind of how we started, everything's happened and changed so fast that, you know, where are things going to be a year from now and 5 years from now, you know, you and I don't know. But I think this feels like the right step for us to be making right now for our freelancers to allow them to take advantage of the technologies available today.
The bottom line.
So we're going to.
The bottom line message is that this is not something that is going to make creative individuals, makers, creators obsolete.
Exactly. We think this is going to, you know, do the opposite and, you know, really allow them to take advantage of the AI tools that exist. And really kind of help them grow their own individual businesses.
Again, Matt Clunan is Vice President of Global Brand Marketing for the freelance platform Fiverr, talking about the impact of AI on those who create things for a living. Where do we get more information, Matt?
Yeah, so listeners can go to Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. And to find more information about Go specifically, they can go to Fiverr.com/Go.
Matt Clunan, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Findlay Hancock County Community, let's try that again. Findlay Hancock County Public Library Director Sarah Clevidence is with us this morning to talk about community read time. That's what I mean to say. Getting all conflagulated there. So this is something that we look forward to every year, and the idea is multifold. One of the things that I love about this, obviously, is the idea is to promote literacy and reading for pleasure, but also I love the community unity kind of theme, the idea of getting everybody to be reading the same thing at the same time and, you know, have a shared experience like that.
Yeah, we're all talking and learning about the same
exactly.
topics every March.
And it's really an interesting topic for this year's Community Read book selection. It's one called Gaining Ground, a story of farmers markets, local food, and saving the family farm. Tell us about this selection.
Yeah, so this was written by Forrest Pritchard. Back in 1996, he was new college grad, degrees in literature and geology. So, you know, very useful.
Interesting combination.
Interesting combination. Yeah. Kind of wondering what he was actually going to do with that.
Yeah.
When they discovered that the year's harvest, five glittering train cars full of corn, had netted a profit of
$18.16.
$18.
$18. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And so Forrest decided that he was going to save the family farm. And so this book is his adventures in doing that and learning what it takes to run a farm, you know, kind of bucking the common trends in farming in his community, and just really realizing how he could make it sustainable.
Yeah. Obviously, agriculture is the biggest industry that we have locally, even though, and we've talked about it on the program in various contexts in the past, even though many people maybe don't realize that or not involved in it in the day-to-day. Is that kind of the idea behind making this selection?
Yes. You know, it's an important part of our community and one we've not explored in Community Read before, so we were really excited to have those tie-ins this year.
Of course, the special feature event for Community Read Month is always a visit from the author, and that's going to be happening on March the 20th.
Yes, March the 20th at MCPA. Forrest Pritchard will be speaking that evening. But lots of events all month long. So if you can't join us for that one, lots of other opportunities to explore the importance of agriculture in our community.
Yeah, talk a little bit about some of the other things that are planned through the month of March that tie into the Community Read.
Yeah, sure. So farmers markets, you know, we're right around the corner from the Hancock County Farmers Market opening. Mm-hmm. There'll be a program on that, on the history of our farmers market on March 10th. You know, once you get all this wonderful produce from the farmers market, you need to know what to do with it. So we'll talk about farm to kitchen to table with food preservation techniques. mental health and farming is also a really important topic. So we're excited to work with the Family Resource Center for Rooted Resilience, Balancing Farm, Family, and Well-Being. Raising chickens, I think. when I went to Meijer this weekend, there weren't any eggs.
We had that same experience.
Yeah.
There are no eggs.
There are no eggs.
You can't get them at any price.
But you can come to the library on March 24th and learn how to raise chickens. And I'm told there will be some baby chicks at that program. So that'll be exciting, too.
Very good.
But Community Read isn't just for the adults. We also have, books for youth that tie into similar themes. So the author of the teen title, which is Bend in the Road, author is Sarah Byron. She'll be joining us for a virtual author talk discussion with our teens on March 11th.
Okay. You mentioned Bend in the Road is the older teens book selection. What are some of the others? Like you said, each age range you have kind of an age-appropriate book following the same theme. And there are some interesting selections here.
Yeah. So for the preschool set, we have Here Are the Seeds. K through 2 is Amara's Farm. Grades 3 through 5 is Stepping Stones. Grades 6 through 8, The Labors of Hercules Beale. And then for the high school set, it's Bend in the Road.
Yeah. Again, a number of, from the very basics of exploring how food grows to the idea of farmers markets. And I love The Labors of Hercules Beale because it's kind of that same theme of a young man who may or may not want to take over the family farm is kind of the
I think it's probably a tough decision for a lot of families, and for others, for other kids, it's absolutely the path they want to take.
Really interesting stuff. One of the other things that you have, and again, this is all on the website. You've got all of the information on the book, on the feature event, on the other books for the younger readers. But you also have a list of read-alikes, which I don't know if that's something you've done before. I don't think we've talked about it in the past, but I really like the idea. It's one of those, if you like this, you may like these books.
Well, that's something we really like to do at the library, is help connect people with more so they can continue to explore a topic. So actually, we do that every year. We always have a list of read-alikes for all of our titles, for all of our age titles. So if you really enjoyed this one and you want to go a little bit further in your learning, this is your chance to do that. You know, I was thinking about this while I was out in the waiting room, that most of what I read for fun. And not to say that I don't learn things from books all the time, but I'm usually picking things just because I want to read them for fun. But Community Read is really the month where you're invited to dig in and really learn more and explore more from a book.
Yeah. And again, especially with this one, because it does tie into such a topic that is very important for the community. And I just mention, go back and mention, you were talking about the mental health aspect. I mean, clearly, again, as you were setting up the book, when this individual, when Forrest, has this huge harvest and makes $18.
Right.
It's pretty easy to see why mental health becomes an issue in the rural community.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the scene in this book with Forrest and his mom and the gentleman who managed the farm that year, they had kind of talked like $10,000 was the minimum that they and when the gentleman that managed the farm said, $18,16, they thought he meant $1,800. And they were like, $1,800, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
No, $18.
Which is way...
way not enough.
Way far.
Yes.
Way
yes,
short.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. And I think it'll give folks a different perspective on their farming neighbors. So again, the book is Gaining Ground, A Story of Farmers Markets, Local Food, and Saving the Family Farm. You obviously have copies available at the library.
We do. We have lots of copies available at the library. Lots of opportunities for just book discussions, too. We didn't mention those, but I do have to say one of the ones we're most excited about is we're doing a book discussion at Herdwell in Arlington.
Oh, okay.
So you'll also get a behind-the-scenes tour of Herdwell as part of that discussion.
And you also have some bullet points, some discussion questions if you have your own book club or even if you're just reading it on your own and want to contemplate things, you have that posted on the website as well. So really good stuff. And again, Community Read coming up through the month of March and the Feature event is on the 20th?
Yes, right? It is on the 20th. Okay. Tickets are on sale now at MCPA.
Very good. Definitely going to be something to check out. And by the way, going to the library mm-hmm. during Community Read Month, you've got you're pretty much done with all of the remodel and the refresh.
Absolutely.
Now, right?
There's those few little details that always take longer than you'll think.
There always are.
But it is so light and bright and open and somehow feels like a bigger building than it did before we started. I don't know.
Did you actually gain ground?
No, we didn't construct anything. We just painted, carpeted, and rearranged our furniture.
Well, sometimes that's all it takes.
Sometimes.
So worth stopping in. Again, Sarah Clevidence, director of the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library, with us this morning. It is Community Read Time, and we have the link on our webpage for more information. And by the way, we have a calendar for all of those events that we were mentioning and anything else that's going on in the library that's posted on the website.
Yes, right, FindlayLibrary.org.
All right, very good. Sarah, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
You know, the airline industry has been in the news lately for all the wrong reasons. Number of accidents and near misses. There was another one yesterday at Midway Airport in Chicago. Southwest Airlines jet coming in for a landing had to do a touch and go, take off again, because there was a private jet crossing the runway while it was trying to land. That's not good. Pretty amazing video, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's really wild. But none of the stories in the news involving airlines and airplanes tops this one. I think this one may take the cake. It is the story of Mitchell Ring and Jennifer Cullen, who claim that they had to sit next to a dead passenger during a long-haul flight from Melbourne to Doha. Australia to India. The pair says a fellow flyer left the lavatory, collapsed, and unfortunately, the passenger passed away mid-flight, which is obviously very heartbreaking. But then the crew placed the woman's body in their row, Mitchell and Jennifer's row, for the remainder of the flight. They just propped the body up there in the room. You know how airline seats are pretty packed in. They're close quarters with those in your row, and so they put the body in the row with those two passengers. The pair says that the airline, Qatar Airways, has not contacted them to offer them any support or any compensation. Airline spokesperson says, first and foremost, of course, our thoughts are with the family of the passenger who sadly passed away on board our flight, but they did add that they are in the process of reaching out to the affected passengers. Which would be everybody on the flight. That would be pretty gruesome, but especially the ones who had to sit next to the dead body for the remainder of the flight. Man. Speaking of airlines and airport fun, a South Carolina man is going to prison for about 3 years after he stripped naked and assaulted a TSA officer while intoxicated at an airport security check at the Indianapolis International Airport. He stripped naked while he was intoxicated going through the security line. The Department of Justice says George Stevens was going through a TSA checkpoint at Indianapolis International when he was singled out for further inspection. Court records show Mr. Stevens became agitated and pulled down his pants and his underwear, exposing his bare buttocks and genitals to the screening officers and other passengers. Needless to say, he was not allowed to board his flight. Prosecutors also point out that Mr. Stevens has a history of criminal offenses, including gun offenses prior to this particular incident. The FBI, TSA, and Indianapolis Airport Police all were involved in the investigation. not sure how much investigating you actually have to do on that. I mean, pretty cut and dry. He dropped his dropped trowel and flashed himself, exposed himself to everybody in sight. Yeah, not good. Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. A reward is being offered in the search for an inmate who escaped police custody in Elyria, Ohio. Apparently, the U.S. Marshals Service has joined in the search for Dante Parker II. He was handcuffed and being detained by cops at an apartment complex earlier this month when he managed to run off. He was last seen, still handcuffed, running along the Black River. It is believed to it is believed he is hanging out with his girlfriend. I wonder if he's still cuffed. He's running away, still handcuffed. And they haven't been able to find him for several weeks now. The Marshals Service is offering a cash reward for information leading to Mr. Parker's arrest. Shouldn't be too hard to spot if he's still handcuffed. You know what I mean? Have you seen a handcuffed man walking around? Oh, that man's in handcuffs. What is what? That would be rather suspicious. 35-year-old Florida man is under arrest for some bizarre behavior involving a Chucky doll. Rit Arias allegedly was waving the doll, a Chucky doll, which is, you know, the fictional serial killer from the Child's Play films. He had a Chucky doll he was waving around, and he was waving it at enough people on Thursday of this past week that police got involved. Can you imagine getting that call? Somebody's out here waving a Chucky doll around. Only in Florida. Police arrested Mr. Arias after he reportedly frightened patrons of the Grove Kosher Market. He faces a charge of disorderly conduct. Can you imagine going to jail? What are you in for? Well, I was waving around my Chucky doll. Frightening people with my Chucky doll. From the international file, the broken news. The owner of a ramen shop in Kyoto, Japan, has placed a bounty on two customers who left poor reviews online. They apparently take this very seriously. At this ramen shop in Japan, placed a bounty on two customers who left poor reviews online. According to the restaurant owner, quote, "We run a good business, so if you get in our way, we're going to get in your way, too." Wow. Wow. The owner is offered a reward of $600 or 100,000 yen for anyone who could provide the reviewer's actual name and whereabouts. The owner insists that all he wants to do is have these reviewers have another meal and then change their review. Sure. For 100,000 yen, the actual names and addresses of the people who left bad reviews. Whew. That makes me want to go and dine at that restaurant. You know what I mean? That's a good way to attract clientele, I'm sure. And finally, in the broken news this morning, being a parent is hard. We know that if you have kids, you've had kids, you know that being a parent is hard. One minute, you're picking one of your kids up from daycare. The next, your other kid is driving through the daycare because you were taking too long with the first kid. According to local news reports, a daycare in Independence, Missouri, had to close up shop after it was struck by a car driven by an impatient 11-year-old. Apparently, the child was growing impatient, waiting for his mom to pick up another kid, his sibling, and the 11-year-old decided to drive away. He had had enough waiting. I'm going to take the car, and I'm just going to go. Problem is, of course, he was 11 and didn't know how to drive. So the boy didn't realize that the car he thought was in reverse was actually in drive, and he proceeded to plow into the daycare building in front of him. Oops! Mom was cited for endangering the welfare of a child. The junior driver, police say, will not face any legal charges. But Maybe you want to work on your patience. You're taking too long to pick up the other kid. He'd had enough. There you go. Fortunately, nobody seriously hurt in the incident there, so we can laugh about it. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When someone you love tells you they've been sexually assaulted, it can be very emotional and overwhelming. Survivors, their loved ones, and friends can find free, confidential support by calling Open Arms 24-Hour Crisis Hotline at 419-422-4766 or by visiting openarmsfinley.com.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. There's a recent article in the New York Times reporting that the number of excess bedrooms in the U.S. has reached a new high of 31.9 million. So, new YouGov survey explored who is most likely to have one or more spare bedrooms in their home, and what are those rooms being used for? So as it turns out, 51% of Americans now have in their homes at least one unoccupied bedroom. More than half. Meaning that an individual is not currently being used, that room is not currently being used by anyone in the household as a bedroom. So you have a spare bedroom. 32% have one unoccupied bedroom in their homes. 16% have two. 4% actually have three or more. So what are Americans doing with their surplus bedrooms? 31% use what they consider to be their first unoccupied bedroom as a guest room. 18% use it as storage. I have to admit, in our spare bedroom, we do that as a little bit of both. It's a spare bedroom, it's a guest room, but it's also a storage room. 18% will use it as a home office. 8% use it for hobbies. 7% consider it a bedroom for someone who currently lives elsewhere. In other words, Johnny doesn't live here anymore, but this is still Johnny's bedroom when he comes home to visit. Among those who have a second unoccupied bedroom, the most common uses are as a guest room, storage, home office, hobbies, and 7% use it as a playroom, which suggests that for some families, it's not that they're empty nesters and the kids who were in those bedrooms have grown and gone. They have kids that have not yet grown into their own bedroom, and it's used for future expansion. Among those who don't have any unoccupied bedrooms in their home, 29% say if they had one, they would use it as a guest room. 19% would use it as a home office. 8% would use it as for their hobbies. 7% would use it as an entertainment room, like a home theater room. 7% would use it for exercise, and 6% would use it as a library. So I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking with the folks from the Park District about Maple Sugar and Days. There are certain events that always come around each year that I love talking about because they are sure signs that spring is coming. And here's another one. It's Pancake Day this weekend, the Findlay Kiwanis, and it is still the biggest fundraiser of the year. Ashley Ritz is with us from the Findlay Kiwanis, and it is. I always look forward to this because I know spring is right around the corner.
That's right, Chris.
Felt like it yesterday, and it's probably going to feel more and more like it the deeper we go, but hard to believe we're talking about the month of March already, and here it is.
That's right. It's right around the corner. Pancake Day is coming up, as you mentioned, on March 1st, this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Findlay High School cafeteria.
Yeah. Tickets are available in advance. You can get tickets at the door, but you can save a little money if you get them in advance.
Yeah, they're $1 off in advance. They're $7 for adults, $6 for children and seniors. They are available from any Findlay Kiwanian. There's about 100 of us running around the city here. But they're also available for public purchase at the AAA on Tiffin Avenue,
okay.
Heavenly Pizza, and State Bank downtown.
All right. So make sure that you get those, and don't miss it. It's an all-you-can-eat. It's a lot of fun. You have a lot of people involved, as you mentioned, about 100 in the club, and you have others who come in to help make it happen through the course of the day.
We do, yeah. We have our service leadership clubs that come in, too. So there's Macomb K Kids that come in and help clean the tables for us. There's Action Club from Blanchard Valley Center. They help us out.
Mm-hmm.
Key Club from Finley High School. They're always running pancakes for us and helping in any way they can as well.
So what is your role? What are you going to be doing? Because everybody has a role to play.
Sure.
For this. Are you actually going to be flipping the pancakes?
I am not flipping the pancakes this year.
So I'm wondering, is that like the job? Is that the job that everyone wants? Or is that the job that nobody wants?
People don't seem to mind flipping pancakes. Okay. Nobody wants to be the sausage tray grease cleaner, though. Nobody wants that job, let me tell you.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be drawing the short straw right there.
Yeah, but we do have one member. He sucks it up every year, and he does it for us. Shout out to you, Alex Monroe. Nice job.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, as we mentioned, it is the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Finley Kiwanis. What does that mean? What do the Finley Kiwanis do with the proceeds from this event?
Sure. So our mission is to serve children. So really with this money, we have a variety of different projects that we use to do service projects in Finley and Hancock County. One of those is Kiwanis Closets. So we have physical closets in each of the elementary and middle schools here in the city and county. And we just keep extra clothes, underwear, you know, socks. Maybe if somebody had an accident at school, mm-hmm. we keep those closets stocked so teachers don't have to call home, right? Yeah. Or try to find a parent to bring an extra pair of pants or something.
Yeah.
We keep those items there for kids. And it is a highly used program, let me tell you. Every week at our meetings, we've got stuff to distribute to the schools.
Yeah. And that's in all of the city schools?
That's correct. It's, yeah.
It is a program that serves a number of kids. Just one of the ways that
you serve kids. Oh, yeah. Thousands of kids. Yeah. One of our newer programs is called Enchroma Glasses. So those are for children. It corrects color blindness, basically. So we are offering screening programs throughout the city and county schools in Hancock County.
Mm-hmm.
And if children are identified to be colorblind, we will purchase glasses for them to correct the colorblindness.
That is an amazing... I've seen videos online of kids who try these on, even adults sometimes, mm-hmm. who get these. And it's really amazing that they can correct color blindness and vision issues in that way. And just the reaction is something else.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, we've had kids, younger kids, like 5 to 6 years, come in and get glass. And then last week, actually, we had a 17-year-old.
Wow.
And their reactions are all pretty priceless on how different the world looks to them with those glasses.
Yeah, in the full spectrum
color. Yeah.
It's something that most of us don't even think about. We kind of take for granted. But
absolutely.
If it's something that you've always dealt with, this is something brand new. And then there are other programs, other things that you do throughout the year as well.
Yeah. So we offer different grants to nonprofits. They're small dollar amounts that nonprofits can apply for little projects they need. We mm-hmm. also do a variety of volunteering throughout the community, too.
Mm-hmm.
We built and we maintain Brucklocker Memorial Park. So if you've ever been out there, it's a pretty cool park to be going to. And we keep it up, too. So.
Yeah. A lot of things that the Finley Kiwanis do within the community. Sometimes behind the scenes and maybe not always out there, shouting from the rooftops about all of the things that you do. But think about all of these programs that just wouldn't exist without the volunteerism of the Finley Kiwanis. And if folks would like to join in the fun.
Yeah. So we meet every Wednesday at noon at the dock at St. Mark's.
Mm-hmm.
We have lunch and then we always typically have an educational speaker. We're a fun club. We like to have a good time. We have a lot of camaraderie and we're active in the community. So if you want to join us, please feel free to reach out.
You do have an awful lot of fun, as is evidenced by the Pancake Day event. And again, give us all of the details on this. It is happening on Saturday.
That's correct. This Saturday, March 1st, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Finley High School cafeteria.
Okay. And again, you can get tickets in advance. You can also get them at the door. If you wake up on Saturday morning and say, hey, I can go after all, you can get tickets at the door.
So. Absolutely.
Bring your appetite. We've got a link for more information on our webpage. And again, Ashley Ritz from the Findlay Kiwanis with us this morning, talking about Pancake Day. Meat spring is right around the corner. Ashley, thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media. Sign up for our daily email newsletter. There's a link to email us directly with anything you want to share. Again, visit us online. Our little corner of the world wide web is at goodmornings.net. Until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.